Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Just after what we just went through, worshiping the Lord, I think we're all in a better state than we were when we walked through those doors this morning. Especially if you had the opportunity to be in this morning's lesson, I think we were a little bit wiser in the way we look at life. Then hopefully by the end of this lesson, you'll have a little bit more wisdom to carry with you. I'm a little excited about this lesson because I have some stuff to share you from my trip that I had an experience while I was there. So I'm really excited to be able to share that testimony or that experience with you this morning. We are three lessons in, and we are talking this morning about establishing a faith and trust in God. You listened to the songs this morning, that's what we were singing all about this morning. But I have to tell you, this is one of those things that it's easier said than done. And I think so much of, this is why we had the first lesson to surrender. And the second lesson, we're going to need the Holy Spirit on this part. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to. Because we're talking about my journey, as we've been talking about the last few sermons. This is the journey that I want to go through. But when we talk about the journey of Christian living and living a faithful life, it's not going to be easy. We go up mountains, we climb mountains, and you'll hear that reference a little bit later. We hit the depth of the valleys. We have storms in our lives. We have struggles in our life. And so often when we have hit those tough climbs in those mountains or deep in that valley of death, or when we're in the middle of that storm, we ask God, why? Why am I in this situation? But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, He warned of us of these situations. Throughout Scripture, it tells us you need to be prepared for these storms. You need to be prepared for these valleys. You need to be prepared for those climbs of those tough things in life. Because we gave that up the day that Adam and Eve bit of the forbidden fruit. The easy living of Christianity stopped that day. Death came into play. So often people say, why does God do this? He warned of us of this. He tells us and prepares for us that we're able to get through these things. This is life. You don't want to be content in this world. There's something so much more greater, so much more wonderful waiting for us. You don't want to be satisfied with where you're at in life. You need to realize and understand there's something a whole lot more greater. Before we start off, we need to look back in Isaiah 4, verse 10. It tells us, So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. That's what we need to understand. No matter what valley that we're in, no matter what mountain that we're climbing, no matter what stormy seas that we're involved in, we need to understand that God is with us. So often we forget about that. So often we do like the disciples did as Jesus was all on the water, as Peter walking on water. We remember that. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on water. But as soon as he took his eyes off God, that's when he started sinking. But the good part of all that is when he put his eyes back on Jesus and asked for help, Jesus was able to lift him up out of that water. What we need to understand this morning is that God is with us through this journey. No matter how difficult, no matter how hard, he's going to be with us all the way. So what is faith? We'll read it here in just a second. It was just read such a fine job this morning by Brother Holloway. What is faith? I think that's the area that we struggle as Christians, truly understanding faith, what faith is all about. Because I'll tell you about an experience I have here in a minute that just truly enlightened me. First of all, we'll go back and read it again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Let me start off with sharing you some pictures. When I went up to New York on October 12th, around that time frame, I got there late at night, and I'm at the northern end of New York, up in the tips of the mountains. This is where I'm at. When I wake up that morning, we go to our first hunt, and I look around and get to see the beauty. And I said, these pictures really don't do this justice, because you see what I saw. I was just amazed how the clouds at our level and how the trees were blooming in color. I could see God all around me, without a doubt. I could see His hands at work. So there's evidence of God all around me. And what I'll share in a little bit later, this moment here, is look beyond the clouds. There was so much more beyond the clouds. And that's the evidence of what's there. This is a flat picture, and you really don't get to see the full justice of what I got to experience that day. But that's kind of what faith is. We see God in our lives each and every day, but faith is being able to see beyond that by the evidence He shows us in our each and every day life. First and foremost, you need to understand this. He tells us in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, he says this, "But without faith, it is impossible." Did you hear that? "It's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe it that he is." Let's back up for a second. I like this part, and this is what struck me this morning as I was going over it again this morning. It's impossible to please God without faith. We understand that. But he says, "For he that cometh to God must believe it that he is." That means we're coming to him. That's talking to us. Those are who the people who come to God when they're in troubles and trials and tribulations. "God, why am I in this? If you come to me, then believe me that I am in your God. Believe in me." Not just believe, but believe that what I say is true. "But he also is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So without faith, we got to realize we have no relationship with God. So if we get in our situation where we struggle and we ask God why, and we come to him, the first thing we got to realize, we got to believe in him. Believe God. Not just believe in God, but believe that He is our God. Because we have a belief that there is a God, but do we believe God when we're in those crying moments? The apostles went through the same thing in their life. And I like this first part in Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." You know, I just picture in my head God being, Jesus being going like this. "Increase your faith. You've seen all the miracles that I've done. You've seen everything I've done day to day. You've seen me do all these great things, and now you're telling me to increase your faith." He said, "What more do you," in his mind, I can imagine, he's saying, "What more do you expect from me?" But no, this is what he says. And the Lord says, "If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed." If I take a grain of mustard seed and put it in my fingers, and you would not be able to see it. That's how small a grain of mustard seed is. "If you have, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Look what he says as we go to Mark. We're going to read 2 to 25. "And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that's what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." The power that we have as Christians is incredible. Because so many people want to tell you, well, that's just a symbolism. No, it's not. We have enough power, ability, if we have faith in God, that we can literally move a mountain to the sea. But you know what comes in our way is what Satan uses day to day in every aspect of our life. How many of us in this room, it ain't me, but how many of us in this room have that much faith that we can actually literally command a mountain into the sea? We don't, because we allow Satan into our lives to throw that doubt. Because there's that key word. If you have no doubt, you're able to move mountains. But Satan puts in there in our minds all the time, does God really mean that? When he says this, you can move mountains, God puts that doubt in our heart. That's what stops us from having the power to do anything, is battling through Satan's doubt. That's Satan's biggest tool right there. He tells us, going on in verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for me in prayer, believe that you have received it. When you pray for it, believe that you've already received it. That's what we're told. And it will be yours. But a lot of times when we pray to God, we already have our doubts in our mind that He's not going to fulfill our prayers. We limit ourselves because of the lack of faith that we have. We need to trust in the Lord. But it comes with conditions. It tells us this in verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against one another, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. In other words, don't ask anything from me that you're not willing to give to somebody else. How can you ask for anything in prayer if you have grudgingness towards a brother or sister, or you're angry towards somebody else? If you're not willing freely to give of yourself, how would you expect God freely give to you? We need to understand that. That's why we need to first surrender. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, a heart that is willing to forgive and love others. Those fruits that we talked about last Sunday. We need to have that to be able to build on that building of that faith. The question that we have this morning, trusting in God no matter what. We trust God to a point, but do we truly trust God? Because if we truly trust God, we would turn over our whole life to Him. We would have no worries. We would have no concerns. But there's so many things that we hold on to. There's so many things that Satan put doubts into us. You look around this room this morning. If we had a congregation and had a world that truly trusts God, where would they be this morning? You have a whole world that's out there doing their own thing and doing what matters to them. They trust on themselves and not on God. But Satan, that's what he wants. He wants to put a little doubt in there. COVID came along and put doubt in people's mind. Do we really need to be there? And then Satan says, well, do you really need to go to church at all? Do you really need to be there with your brothers and sisters? Can you worship God out there just as well as you can in here? And then a little bit more doubt, a little bit more doubt, and you see where we stand today. We are not the only church that's going through that. Every church that I've talked to around here are going through the same struggles that we are. It's Satan having the influence in this world. Satan trying to have the influence on us. You know, when we did the Bible class, Judy and them and those who have been in it, I always would call them the faithful few that would show up to that class, because it was a small class. We are the faithful few, and we need to stay strong. God didn't tell us an easy race. He said, just complete the race. Trust me, and I'll get you through. Because He tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Don't lean on your own understanding. But the part I get out of this, in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. If we try to follow our path, we're going to be all over the place. We're going to be struggling harder and harder. If we're willing to submit to Him, He will straighten our path. You know, we trust our Father. Why not trust the Heavenly Father of all of us? I got a little story to tell you that I told at my father's funeral. Vance. Now, when I was a little child about the same size of this young man that's in his father's arms, we went up to the mountains, and there was a ridge that took you up and gave you, showed you over a great peak, even more bigger peak than that. But I was scared to death. Me and my mom hung back, and my dad took my brothers and sisters up on that peak, and they went over and they looked over this, all these beautiful mountains. My father came back down that path and says, "Do you want to go?" I said, I just went like a little kid does. He says, "What if I go with you?" And he grabbed my hand. You know, at that age, I don't have a whole lot of memories, but those are one of those memories that just vivid in my head. He grabbed a hold of my hand and we walked up that peak. I didn't have a worry or a concern anymore about anything because I knew my dad would not let anything happen to me. When I told this story at the funeral, my brothers and sisters said, "Yeah, I remember that story now. I remember when we went to that mountain." And that memory just stuck. He picked me up and held me up higher so I could see the beauty of it. And to this day, I can imagine that peak. I don't have very memory of much else at that age, but that stuck out. That's the relationship that we should have with our Heavenly Father. Knowing once He has our hand, no matter what we go through, we're going to be just fine. We won't have anything to worry about. Anything. It tells us here, it's not in my slide, but I'll read it. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Well, let me tell you my story. You know, we got there on the 12th of October. It was dark. The next day, we went hunting that morning. It was pretty much cloudy the first few days. And it was, to me, it was just amazing to be at the top of those mountains. The days after that, we went touring, and because it was still had a little bit of rain. But the Friday and Saturday, we went hunting. Remember, we're in the mountains. I don't know if any of y'all ever hunted in the mountains, but you can't get to where you need to be just by a flat walk. So we had to climb up to the peaks to be able to do our hunting. So I did that the Friday. We did a hunt in the morning, a hunt in the mid in the afternoon, and a hunt in the evening. We did that again on Saturday. Sunday, our days took a little bit longer than we expected. Our days got moved because of people coming in. So we were supposed to leave on Sunday, but we didn't leave on Sunday. So I got up that morning. Christopher's in a little bunk bed across from me. I got up Sunday morning, and I go, "Oh, my goodness gracious, I can't move. I've been doing 2 days of doing mountain hunting, and I literally can't move." Christopher looked at me and says, "Get back to bed, Dad." So I fall back to sleep, go back to bed, because we were getting up at 4:30 in the morning. They all left. You know, so I had the cabin to myself. This is what I saw that morning. So I got to listen to some of the worship here, the worship service, but I had the opportunity to worship God because I had the cabin by myself. I'll be honest, the same songs, there's nobody here there to hear me sing, so I was good. So didn't have to bother anybody. But I realized something that morning. You know, the days prior to this, I told you about that I could see God all around me. I see the clouds coming down and see all the trees and the beauties and all around me. I was just overwhelmed and amazed. This is where I'm at in my Christian life. I can see God all around me. I can see Him active in my life, in my daily life. But this is the faith that I want to have. I want to have, be able to see beyond and not worry about tomorrow, not worry about my retirement, not worry about where I'm going to be 30 days from now, a year from now, stuff like that. Knowing that my God is already there. I'll be honest with you. I think most of us are in this moment of time where we see Christ in our daily lives. That's great and that's awesome. We can see the evidence of Him being in our lives. But I don't think there's but a few of us who are here. That we, if we have the faith that God reveals His glory to us. This is the journey that I want to go down and carry y'all with me. This is the trip pictures that I want to show you that, hey, this is the actual Christian life that I'm walking. I'm telling you right now, I'm not here. I want to be, but I'm not here yet. I'm more in where I believe most of all are. We see God active in our life daily, but we don't trust God, truly trust God. Because if we did, it would change our whole perspective in life altogether. Because we are told in Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like an eagle. They will run and not grow weary, or climb mountains and not get tired. They will walk and not be faint. If we put our hope in the Lord, He's going to strengthen us. We're going to be able to run that race. We're going to be able to do that journey. And we don't have nothing to worry. We'll be sailing on wings like an eagle if we truly have that faith. He tells us because He knows what we worry about. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6, which all of us know this verse. We've heard it 100 times in verses 25 through 27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No worries takes hours away from our lives. And God would say, if you just trust me, I will take care of everything for you. We're told in Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and the fruits of all your crops. That comes to a faith issue. When we give, truly give, we don't worry about tomorrow. When we realize that God has tomorrow and that He's going to take care of everything, we will honor Him in every way possible. I think this is an area not only do I struggle with, because I worry about now when I get retired, I'm not going to have as much money. As a matter of fact, a little over a week ago, we're planning that Kim doesn't work. We paid the bills off this month, and Kim says, I'm going to go ahead and quit my job on the 18th. I said, bills are paid, right? She said, yeah. Then quit now. Don't wait till the 18th. Put in your notice now. She said, what about no? Well, this is our plan. The good Lord's going to take care of it. Let's move forward. Be there for the grandkids. So she did. But we need to have that mindset that we don't worry about the future of things. So the Lord's going to provide clothing. Could you look back at your life? I can look back at mine. When was there a time that I not have clothes on me, that I not have a roof over my head, that I have something in my stomach? I've always been provided for. Maybe it's not as much as I want. Maybe I've been a little hungry here and there. But He's always provided. Always. We also need to realize, and we need to know, and we need to know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who has been called according to His purpose. You know, the good Lord's going to always provide what we need. Always. He's always going to take care of us. And that's what we need to realize, what we need. It's the part that we need to understand. Proverbs 30, verse 5 tells us, every word of God is pure. He is the shelter unto them and puts their trust in Him. We need not to worry. You know, the good Lord is always going to provide for us. Always take care of our needs. But we need to be entrusting in Him. When we pray, we ask for things, we also got to realize that He's not going to give us something that's going to create harm. We may want it. It's like our kids asking for some berries. We know those are poisonous berries. Are we going to give those kids poisonous berries to our kids? Absolutely not. So sometimes the things that we ask for are not good for us. And we need to trust in the Lord and His decisions. And we worry about things. But in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it tells us, cast all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. He loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. How much love and how much more do you want God to increase your faith? What more does He need to prove? Just like the disciples when they asked Jesus, increase our faith. If we ask that to God today, He'd be doing the same thing. I've shown you. I've proven it time and time again. I'm taking care of you. The faith is there. All you got to do is use it. The faith is already there. If you remember, remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you have that relationship with the Lord, He's going to provide for His kids. You look around. How do we treat our kids? We try to give them, always take care of our own kids. Give them more than what they deserve. How much more do you think the Lord will do for us? He has a whole lot more than we do. He has a whole lot more ability than we do. You know, this is a verse that we use at the end of the sermon a lot of times, but there's some points that I want to really bring out to really bring this home. We're told in Matthew verse 28, verse 19 and 20, this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's the responsibility that we have, is to teach them what God expects out of our new Christians, what God expects out of each and every one of us. But He ends it this way. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. There again, He wants us to reassure us that He's going to be with us all the way through. No matter what we go through, no matter what we do, as long as we focus our life on Him and do His work and His will, He'll take care of the rest. We got to have that faith that I was talking about earlier. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not there yet. I'm working, hopefully, to getting there. A faith that I can see beyond the mountains. That picture I showed you earlier. Not only how God's working in my life each and every day, but be able to see where He's at tomorrow, and He's at next month, and next year, all the way to whenever that day the Lord calls me up to heaven. I should be able to see and have a faith in God that I can look to my judgment day, realizing that everything is taken care of. I don't know where you're at in your journey. We're all in different places. Some of us are at the peak of the mountains and we finally just got out of some trouble. So we get to see the views that I got to see in New York. So we're standing tall and looking all around us and seeing all the great beauty. Some of us are in the middle of climbing those mountains right now. And even some of us has just gone through the valleys of death. Wondering, hey, why am I here? All I know is the Lord promised if we just have faith in Him that we can literally move a mountain. You know, like I've always said, we have good elders here. When a prayer of a righteous man prays for you and the prayers of this congregation are prays for you, this church has proven it time and time again. God answers prayers. Every time He answers prayers. So I don't know what you're struggling through. I only know my struggles. But if you have any struggles at all, you ain't got to go through it by yourself. Not only can you have the Holy Spirit, but you can have us praying and being beside you all along the way. So I don't know where you're at in your life, but you don't have to go through it alone. So if there's anything we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.